Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Good to see you all. Can you smell from downstairs? It's like you walk down the hall and you go, oh, smells good. So that's for communion fellowship. Please stay. I bought a pork roast and it wouldn't fit. It's just full and threw sauerkraut on it. It's obviously I'm one person. I think I need a whole bunch of people to eat it. So please stay. And you know, the devil is called the accuser. We're going to talk about that at the end. But he'll just accuse you and say, well, I can't stay. I didn't bring anything. What would people think? Who cares? I just invited you. Okay, so stay. If you can, stay. Praise the Lord. All righty, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're a mom or a dad or a grandma and grandpa, this happened to me, and you can probably identify with it. This is when my kids are little. I think I have four children, for all of you that don't know my whole life stories and read my bio, but I have four children, and they're all about 2 years apart. Who needed daycare? I had it. But my youngest one was about 4 years old, so add four on top of that. We got a splur of kids, and it's my birthday. And it happens to be on a Saturday, and this is what happens. I wake up, and I'm ready to jump out of bed, and Jack yells, "Don't get out of bed!" I said, "Oh, my gosh. Okay, all right." So he goes running down the hall, and next thing I know, they are not quiet. Four kids are not quiet, right, Lane? They're noisy. I hear all sorts of stuff going on in my house, clanging and this and that. Eventually, they all come banging in to the bedroom where I'm in bed just waiting, and they all come in singing, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you," da-da-da-da-da, and they have breakfast in bed. I have breakfast in bed. It was cereal. It's okay. It's all right. It's cool. It's in bed, you know. And the kids all jump on the bed, and they're like, "Mom, eat your cereal," you know. And then they whip out these cards. They made cards. All right. So they're making the cards. And the older ones, you know, Sherry, Jesse, and Joy, she was writing. They could write cards, and they would read it to me. You know, they draw this, and they would read what they wrote. And then we got to Cassie, and Cassie could write, okay? I don't know what it was. It must have been another language. And she could also read the language, and she would read the same thing all the time. "Happy birthday, Mommy. I love you," right? Anybody ever have that happen to you? Your kids make you, you know, just fun. So the interesting thing about that is just the great joy. But I thought about that. If one of you would have given YCF $1 million, I would smile. By the way, do you know how many zeros are on that? But I tell you what, the smile on my face for my kids making me cards just topped it, right? Just topped it. And I would like to say that I keep all those cards, but, you know, I don't save nothing, okay? But at the moment, you know, I just remember that. Actually, they have a picture of me in bed with this, and I'm like, no makeup, hair to here, going, oh, yeah, that was the day my kids just blessed the socks off of me, right? So, listen, they made those cards, and it made me just smile so big. It made me, I actually could see the love they had for me, right? I could see how much the effort they put into these cards. Yeah, right before they, you know, made breakfast. Actually, you know what those cards and the breakfast did? I could see my kids' heart for me, right? You could see their heart for you. So we're starting a brand new series called Pleasing God. For the next couple weeks, and I keep thinking I'm only going to do 4 weeks, and I keep adding to this, but we're going to do a series called Pleasing God, and the series is us living a life that pleases God. So we're going to be talking about, and today we're going to talk about the why behind the what. The why behind the what, and I think that's your title on there, right? Yep, I did put that on. The why behind the what, and what that referring to is, why do I read my Bible? And when I read my Bible and God says, "I don't want you to live this way, D, I want you to live that way," or "I don't want you to do this, I want you to do this." This series is about why do we do those things? Why do I follow those things or not follow those things? So today, the whole series is about that, but today is called the why behind the what. Why do we do the things Okay, you ready? Here we go. Now, I've been a believer, a follower of Jesus, golly gee whiz, 40 years. Four decades. That sounds tremendously old. But in the inside, I am an eternal being, and it's just like that, okay? But having been a believer and follower for Jesus for 40 years, and Jack and I pastored this church for 30-plus years, I have seen this, and I am convinced there are so many Christians that do things out of guilt for the Lord. Right? They're doing things for the totally wrong reasons. And they do them thinking, well, if I do this, I'm hoping that God will love me. If I don't do this, I'm hoping he will accept me. If I do these things, God will just, you know, bring me and kiss me and hug me and bless me. And I'm telling you guys, this lesson here is foundational. And some of you are like, Pastor D, I already know that. Well, you just get your vacuum cleaner out and you can dust off and suck off some of those little bugs that got stuck in your foundation. I'm telling you, this is something you have to go over and over in your life. And for all of you that will say, I already know that, good. I'm going to send people to your house because these are the things that cause people to crumble. So we're going to go over what I believe is the most foundational thing in your life, walking with Jesus. I call it the 101s. Any of you, if you've been to college, they make you take the 101 class before you can do the 102 and 103. And usually I'm going, I already know that. And I always get about halfway through there and I go, yeah, well, I kind of forgot some of the 101. So today we're going to do some 101. And this is the class. This is your foundation for everybody who has decided to be a follower of Jesus. So how many of you are followers of Jesus? You've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, / aka I'm a Christian, you're a believer. Okay, this is it. Now, the big thing, the big picture, when you walk out of here, if you can't remember all the other things, this is the big thing. Read it with me. The big idea on your paper that I want you to understand like never before. What does it say? We live for him because of his love for us. So we don't live for the Lord because we'll do the right things and then he's going to love us. Okay? We don't live for him to do things like that. We simply live for the Lord because he loves us. Elementary, my dear Watson. Yeah, but, baby, how many people... And I'll give some examples. They just crumble because they don't really have this. So let me ask you a question. Can you just imagine two little kids? I always love Mark Salmon's grandkids, you know, because I've watched Mark and Carol be this hysterical grandma and grandpa, Mark and Carol Salmon. They're just bananas, you know. And then I am one, and I'm like, I love it, I love it, I love it. But can you just imagine, Mark, that little... Oliver comes up to Addie. Of course, Alex is too little for a conversation, but little Oliver comes up to Addie and he says, you know, Addie, maybe we should make Grandpa some birthday cards. And maybe we should go to the dollar store and buy him a trophy so it says the greatest grandpappy ever. And maybe if we do that, he'll love us. Maybe he'll then accept us to be his grandchildren. Are you kidding me? Do you think that conversation ever goes on? No, no way. You know why those kids make us those cards, buy you those trophies? Is because they know that you love them, right? They know you love them. They know that you love just hanging out with them. Okay, now I have a story. This I just heard probably about a month ago. A friend of mine, his grandkids were coming for the weekend. The mom and dad were going away, and they were going to get them for a long weekend. And you know what this grandpa did? His name is Pappy. You know what Pappy did? I identified this. He went to the store. By the way, there's two grandchildren, seven and I'm going to say five. I can't remember how old Natalie is. Okay, Grandpa, Pappy, goes to the store because he knows they're going to get those kids, and he buys two air gun pistols. Is that what they're air gun pistols? BBs, BB pistols, okay? Grandpas do that. Now, I will say that Pappy did ask the mom and dad ahead of time. And mom and dad said, okay, but make sure we go over safety. They had to have safety glasses. So Pappy is just like waiting to grab these kids when they come to the door Friday night because they're going to be there the whole weekend. And well, you know what Pappy did besides buying those two air gun pop pistols things? He went down the basement and he covered the walls with blankets and cushions. And I will tell you why, because they make little holes in your walls if you don't, okay? So he is psyched. Can you feel it? He is psyched. The grandkids are coming over, so the kids come in, and the little boy's little Joey. Joey, guess what I bought? I bought these BB pistols. We're going to go downstairs. Oh, my gosh. So he takes little Joey downstairs for like 2 hours, and they're shooting him up. He does have his safety goggles on, okay? He did go over the safety rules. And then little Joey, he sends him up, and then he brings little Natalie down, a little girl, 5 years old. And you know how long she lasted? An hour. I mean, don't ever think girls don't like to shoot things up. Okay? Yeah, baby. I do like shooting things up. Okay, now. So why do you think these kids got how do you think these kids feel about their daddy, their pappy? They just know Pappy loves them. Now listen, they know Pappy loves them because look what he did. Right? They know Pappy loves them because Pappy could have just turned on the TV and said, here's a video game, go play. But Pappy wanted to spend time with them. So listen, they know Pappy loves them. I don't know about Grandma, because I'd love to see what the walls look like. Amen? So this is what I want to get across today. I want you to understand, like you've never understood before, how much God loves you, how much Jesus loves you, right? No matter what you do, okay? No matter what you do, okay? He says that if you have received Jesus, he says you are always accepted. You are always accepted. He always loves you. So write that down. He always loves me, okay? He loves you if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. He loves you if you are living full blast, maniac, crazy, powerful Christian. And he loves you if you're just the opposite. And you're not living like you're supposed to. God loves you. Because we live for him because he loves us, because of his love for us, okay? So no matter how you live your life, I'm going to take you through some scriptures. He loves you. Now listen, you can do some things that will make him more pleased with you, right? Pleased with you, all right? You can do some things, or you can do some bad things. Okay? And, you know, I call that sowing bad seeds. You can sow some bad seeds and they're going to come back and bite you, right? But God loves you regardless, always. All righty. So today, get your piece of paper here. I'm going to give you four forevers. That was really hard. I had eight and I whittled them down to four. Four forevers for believers. Four forevers for someone who is already a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Four of them. I can do this. It was really hard not to slide these in. Alrighty, now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you said, yes, I believe in you, there are four forevers here on the page that never change how God sees you. Never. God always was going to feel this way about you. And you need to see that, know that, and apply it in your life. So what's the first one? Forever number one. Forever, you're forever chosen. Let me tell you, that is a big deal. You are forever chosen. Now, how many of you remember long ago in a far, far away place, like when I was in elementary school, they would pick two team captains, right? Usually the best sports person around, and they'd be the captains of the teams, and then they'd have the rest of you line up on the wall, and they would pick people, right, for the team. Okay, they probably don't do that anymore because they found out we're all messed up because of what happens. But you know what? I was never picked first. They still do that? They're not supposed to. Angie teaches in junior high, but we do it anyway. Okay. So guess what? I was always picked last. I was not as spectacular as I was right now. Am right now. I was big, tall, and fat, okay? And buck teeth, and just the whole nine yards, You know, I already told you this. My brother used to call me Three Belly Dee Dee. Buck Teeth Three Belly Dee Dee. Okay, so picture the picture, all right? Okay, so I'm picked last. Do you know how that made me feel? Horrible. Actually, I'd even get this shame going on. Just terrible. And you know what? One of the team, I have a twin brother, and he would often be one of the team guys, the captains, to be picked. And I'd be going, come on, Johnny, come on, Johnny, come on, Johnny. So he would pick me second to last, just to cut me a little slack. Okay, now maybe you can't identify with that, but who remembers those spell-offs? Okay. The spelling bee spell-offs, and they'd pick two captains, and they'd have to pick everybody. They'd have to pick you. You know, you're like, you just would love to run away. I have to go to the nurse's office. And no, they'd have to pick you. And you would feel that shame. Okay? Anybody have any of that stuff happen in your life? You're all athletic and super brilliant. And nowadays they have spell checks. So, dear Jesus, what's going on with our kids, all right? But listen, I want to tell you that God chose you. He chose you first. He didn't choose you last. Actually, God wanted you. So everybody say, God chose me. Yep, he chose me. He wanted me. And do you know what? He chose you to be one of his kids. He chose you to be one of your kids. So open up to Ephesians. Let's get into the word. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. I cannot tell you how often I will have somebody, especially if they have been through the foster care system or been adopted, that they don't get this. Now, that's not me. You know, I didn't have that, but this is vital. So if you know somebody and you see their brains just rocking and rolling, you get this inside of you so you can share it with them. They need to get a foundation so they can go through life like God's planned it for them. Okay, side thought. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. Long ago, even before he made the world, God created us to be his very own through what Jesus would do for us. So before God made the stars in the sky, the earth, the animals that creeped around, guess what? He chose us. He chose us. We were in his mind even before all of that took place, right? Is that the way you see it? All right, he chose us. Okay, now, did you notice the word? It said he chose us. It didn't say he chose me. All right, now this is what I'm going to talk about here. Listen, he chose us. He chose all of us at the same time. And the us is talking about mankind, humanity, okay? God chose. His great love was even before he made the stars and the moon and the earth, he chose all of mankind. He chose them, all right, to be his kids. And so this is what he said. Hey, you know, Jesus, I want you to go, my son, Jesus, go die on the cross so that we can make them all our kids. Now, the sad thing is not everybody accepts it, right? Not all humanity has accepted that. Anybody know some people that haven't accepted Jesus yet? Okay, but in the beginning, God chose all of us to be in there, all right? So if you have accepted Jesus, you're now one of his family. You are chosen. You are chosen. Everybody close your eyes and say, I am chosen to be in this family of God. Okay. Now, this is kind of twists my head a little bit, but listen to this. God actually stands outside of time. Okay? God stands outside of time. What do I mean? There's this beginning that he sees, and he sees all the way through the end. He sees the beginning and the end. Everybody know that scripture, right? Okay, so God saw you, and he wanted you. God saw me with all my goof-ups, and he wanted me. He chose me to be a part of him. God saw me even before I accepted Jesus to be Lord of my life. And he still said, Dee, I want you. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? So listen, let's read the rest of it. Okay, I get excited. Here we go. God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. And we're going to talk about those later. We who would stand before him covered in his love. Verse 5, his unchanging, that's talking about the forever part. The forever part, you know, so I said there's four forevers. So this is God who's forever. His forever unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. So he did this because he wanted you. He wanted you, right? He did it. So in other words, you and I were not the last one standing on the wall. You and I were not the last one. He actually picked you out. He has chosen you to be a part of his family. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. Okay. You know, as I wrapped up writing this and just going over my notes, I have to be honest with you. I actually had tears in my eyes. It just brought tears to my eyes because I want to tell you something. I've taught this to kids longer than I've taught it to adults because I've been in downstairs children's ministry for 20 some years. And I've taught this to adults. I know this. I know that God chose me. But as I went over this, I just had tears. Just God, you picked me. When I was, the Bible says, yet a sinner, when I was a mess, when I, yesterday and today, let me say, I was a mess this morning. How many of you saw me? Was not doing good. We were on plan A, B, C, D today, getting ready for this morning. And it just brings tears to my eyes that God said, I don't care, D, I forever have chosen you to be one of mine. So if you're having a bad day, go back to the basics. Just go, whoosh. I am forever picked out first and wanted and loved to be one of God's, right? It's so important, so important. Praise God. You know, so I want to just pray for y'all. Father God, open the eyes of every all these great people that are sitting here. Open their eyes that they could see that we live for you because you chose them forever to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Okay, so number one is we are forever chosen. Let's do number two. You are forever perfect. Okay, you know what perfect means? Get your pencil and write this out. Flawless. Flawless. You want to go, God, you didn't look in the mirror. No, no, no. The Bible says you are forever flawless, okay? Now, can we agree on the outside, including my mouth and all those things that go on? I am not flawless. You are not flawless, are you? Huh? On the outside, okay? I had one of my girlfriends just cracks me up. Every time we want to take a picture, she'll go, no, 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 don't take this side. That's my bad side. Take this side. I go, oh, no, it looks too, you know, I really, okay, we're allowed to do this. And do not go out in the hall this afternoon and tell me what side is my best side. Just please don't do that to me, okay? Just to get the point across, how many remember like the early days when they had silent films? Every once in a while I'll watch something and then they'd say how the silent films switched to talking films. All right, and they usually have this beautiful girl with the blue eyes and the blonde hair. Of course, they're black and white, so how did I know that? But anyway, who was the star of talking films? She was the star and all, excuse me, of silent films. And all of a sudden, she is in the talking films, and she's got the worst voice, horrible. And all of a sudden, she ain't perfect no more, is she? All right, she's out. Okay? Listen, none of us are perfect, right? None of us are perfect. No matter who you are, you're not perfect on this outside. But, Jesus said, and God is saying, but on the inside, you are forever perfect. You are forever flawless. I see you that way, and I'm going to give you a scripture, okay? So praise the Lord. Open up to Hebrews chapter 10. Open up to Hebrews 10:14. Praise God. A Okay, now, most of you know this, but if you are new to accepting Jesus Christ, let me say, if you accept Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, He has made you brand new on the inside. The real you is called the spirit man or the hidden man. You'll read that through your Bible, okay? The real you is now new and perfect, all right? So, and listen to this part. This is the best. God made you in His... Guess who's perfect? God's perfect. So on the, you know, but you're like, yeah, but you don't know my husband. I've been living with him for 30 years. He sure ain't perfect. If he's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as his life, on the inside, that's how he is, perfect. Now we're going to talk about another thing that helps us walk it out. Okay, you guys ready at Hebrews 10:14? Hebrews 10:14. For by that one offering... He forever made those who are being made holy. Okay, the offering, see the word offering? The offering is talking about Jesus dying on the cross and you accepting him. All right, that's the offering. Now, did you notice the last part? Oh, okay, the last part. Those who are being made perfect. Okay, theologians call that sanctification. Everybody uses that every day in your vocabulary, right? Sanctification. Okay, sure, right. Let me tell you what sanctification means. Here we go. It means being made holy, sanctification, or what we are on the inside, we start to live on the outside. What, that's sanctification. What we are, that's just like the simplest way I can give it to you. What we are really on the inside, we start to live on the outside. That's sanctification, okay? So, as long as you're a follower of Jesus, you are never on the outside going to be perfect. To the day you die, you keep working on what's in the inside, living on the outside, right? All right. Now, we keep working at it. I read the word and I go, oh, yeah. Okay. And then I start changing more and more. I go from glory to glory. I start getting sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by, right? I start living more like Jesus. But... On the outside, I'm not perfect, but this is talking about the inside. I wrote down for you the Greek word T-E-L-E-I-O-O. Not even going to pronounce it. This is what this word perfect means. To make perfect, to make complete, without flaw, to be found perfect or flawless. Did you see that word flawless? Perfect means you're flawless on the inside. When you receive Jesus, you are flawless. Amen? So listen, now you might be saying, Pastor D, you don't know what I did last week. Pastor D, you don't know the life I've been living. Pastor D, you know, I love Jesus, but. Okay, now this is it. We're talking about the inside. We're talking about when you receive Jesus, a miracle takes place on the inside. You become perfect, flawless. And listen, you will never live the right way on the outside until you understand what happened on the inside. You'll live guilty. You'll just be a mess. You'll be calling me up, bugging me all the time. All right? You have to understand first, you are forever made perfect when Jesus comes into your life. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's so fun, Pastor D. Now, I'm sure this happened to some of you. I remember giving my kids a bath because we're going to go someplace, right? We're going to go, you know, get them all dressed up. And then I'll tell them, just go outside. That was the bad part. Just go outside. We'll be leaving in 5 minutes, all right? So I've washed them up, put these clean clothes because we're going to a party, and never fails. Never fails. They get all muddy and dirty, especially the sandbox. You know, they get, I don't know why I thought that. So now the interesting part, so I've washed them up, I put clean clothes on them, and now they got all junked up in the mud, right? Question, are they still your kids? Yep, they're still your kids. They're just dirty, okay? Some of you are jumping in the mud, right? You shouldn't be jumping in the mud, right? Don't be jumping in the mud. But listen, you are still God's child. Because you are forever chosen, you are forever perfect when you ask Jesus into your life. All right. Number three. You ready? Number three. Read it with me. You are holy. Holy. Okay, let's talk about forever, because forever is forever. All right? Forever is forever. And that means, you know, when you accept Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, he doesn't change. He doesn't change on how he sees you because of what you did. You are forever, forever, forever chosen, forever perfect, and we're going to talk about forever holy. Now, how many of you know about Cutco knives? I noticed that the age group that raised their hands. Okay. Cutco knives, they have a forever guarantee on them, right? Yep. They have a forever performance guarantee. If you break them, send them back. They don't fix them. They give you a new one. All right? If they get dull, send them back. They actually sharpen them and send them back to you. They have a forever guarantee. All righty? Forever. A guarantee. I like that. Now, I have to do this one here. I found this out the long way. It's a little dumb, a little long. This is a backpack. It's actually Sherry's. This is an Eastpak backpack by the company Eastpak. Now, when my kids were little, I would go to, do you remember Hills Department Store? Oh, you old baby. Okay. Loved Hills so bad they went out of business. And then we'd go to Kmart, you know. They didn't have the dollar store back then. And I would buy the cutest little backpacks for my kids that they would pick out. Now, today it would be Dora the Explorer. I don't know who they had, Rainbow Bright or something like that, backpacks. And the crazy thing about those cute backpacks, cheap ones, they didn't make it through the whole school year. Nope. You know? And I was like, golly gee whiz, now what are we going to do? And plus, if you know, if they're breaking right around April, it's kind of hard to find backpacks. And then somebody told me about the company Eastpak. They have a forever guarantee. But they were expensive. $35, that was a lot of money. Still is a lot of money, okay, for a backpack, because I could use, okay. So I started replacing. Actually, this is the original. And, okay, what happened is I'm downstairs looking for something, and I have a bin of duffel bags and gym bags, and I found these backpacks, and I remembered, oh, the forever guarantee. Now, it's interesting, their forever guarantee says under normal use, right? They will replace them. Now, normal use to the guy who probably wrote that, and normal use to two kids, because I look out my window on the bus stop and they're taking them and they're whipping them around and hitting each other, and the clip breaks and stuff like that. That's normal use. Yeah, it's normal, right? Okay. And then they jam things in them and they fall. Okay. But anyway, the reason why I share these stories is both those companies, and I'm not trying to sell for them. I didn't get a cut for this, all right? But both of those companies both have a forever guarantee, right? But listen, they could go out of business, right? By the way, they could go out of business. Now, I'm not, you know, they could stay for a long, long time, but look how life changes. They could go out of business, and if they go out of business, the forever guarantee is gone, yep. So I found two of these, and I'm mailing them back before they go out of bed. You should see Jesse's. Oh, my gosh. I thought he chewed the whole thing. So I was digging. I found these. And I said, hey, listen, I'm sending this back. That's why I thought about it. But really, you guys need to understand this. God has a forever guarantee for you. Forever. He has a guarantee for you forever. Forever, forever, forever. And guess what? God is not going out of business. Right? All right. So if you've accepted his son as Lord and Savior, you are forever chosen. You are forever perfect. You are forever holy. Praise God. And you don't have to mail anything back. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's talk about holy, and you're going to have to turn over to Hebrews 10:10. Ready? Hebrews 10:10. Okay, I'm getting ready for some scriptures up here. Hebrews 10:10. What does it mean to be holy? Actually, in another week or so, I'm going to really just spend a whole lot of time. I'm just going to give you the whipped cream and the cherry part for what it means to be holy. So let's turn to Hebrews 10:10. For God's will was for us to be made holy. Wow. by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So, you know what he's saying here? Here's it. No matter how you live for God, right? God's love never changes. Okay? He can't love you more. If you're his, he can't love you more by the way you live, and he can't love you less. It's part of the forever, all right? Forever, all righty? Now, if you live the right way, I'm not saying go live like, you know, whatever. But if you live the right way, you will please him more. And we're going to talk about that later, but you will please him more. But he loves you now as much as he's ever going to love you. This big. He just loves you this big. He doesn't love you more because you do stuff. He just loves you, all righty? Now, so same thing with holy. You are as holy now. You are, he said, he's made you holy. You know, it's that inside stuff here, all right? As you're ever going to be. But we get to live that out on the outside. But as far as how God sees you, you are forever holy on the inside, all righty? Now, question, can I live holier? Yes. Now, I'm going to look at you. Can you live holier? Yes. Okay. I can live the outside. Yep. Better. Holier. All righty. But you can't be any holier on the inside than you are the day you receive Jesus on the inside. He's just made you holy. See, you are forever chosen. You are forever perfect. And you are forever holy. All righty. Now, turn over now to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 21 and 23. Everybody say while you're getting there, I'm forever chosen, I'm forever perfect, and I'm forever holy in his sight. It's like God's gone. Yeah, that's how I see it. Okay, you all at Colossians 1? Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in our minds because of your evil behavior. Wow, that's how I was before Jesus came into my life. How about you? Okay, that's how we were. Okay, verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death. Okay, so he's talking about Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and you've now accepted him. Okay, that's this part he's talking about. Alrighty, that's the part you accepted him into your life. Okay, now the rest of it, look what happens. Look what happens next to us. Ready? Verse 22, the second part. So you have to see this. Jesus actually presents you to God. When you accept Jesus into your life, Jesus will take you and he presents you to the Father in heaven. And he says he presented you to God holy in his sight without blemish. That means without flaw, right? Without blemish or flaws, and free you from accusations. We're going to talk about accusations if you continue in your faith. Okay, this continue in your faith means as you keep living for the Lord, continue in your faith, all righty? Now, how many of you know you have an enemy? It is not the IRS, especially this time of year, okay? The enemy, the Bible says you have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he is called the accuser of the brethren. Okay? He's accusing brethren, meaning believers, brothers and sisters in Jesus. Okay? That's his job description. And he never takes a day off. Can I tell you probably the biggest slam dunk of the accuser that hits my mind is every Sunday on Market Street heading to my house. Oh, Pastor D, you did a terrible job. They didn't get it. It was blah, 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 blah. He's accusing me. All right? Does anybody have the accuser accuse you? You're no good. You're a failure. You're the worst dad. You didn't do this. You lost that. Okay. And what he does is he like machine guns and tries to put thoughts into your mind. If you chew on them, baby, you get depressed. Right? You quit. Alrighty, so. Hallelujah. there's a whole bunch of people, Christians, that are walking around in shame and depression because they don't know. They are forever chosen. They are forever perfect. They are forever holy. And once you know that, changes everything. And you know what I do now? I was telling Sherry, like, you know, I've been reading my Bible for a long time. Okay, I actually have Bibles that are pages are falling out, so then I go to a new Bible. That's how you know you've been born again for a long time. So I was leaving last week, and the accuser was just hitting me with this. Oh, it was terrible, you know. Everybody fell asleep during the service. Oh, yeah, it just, duh, duh, duh. So you know what I did? I took my secret weapon out, and I started praying in other tongues, loud. We'll talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. And you know what? I got loud. And when you're loud, you can't hear the dummy, the accuser. Guys, you all need the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you. That's for another day. All righty. Hallelujah. Now, number four. I noticed there's really one more. I really want to do 10 more, but one more that I had to get in. I had to put this one in. And what does it say? You are forever secure. You are forever secure. All right. If I had $1,000, people used to say if I had a nickel, but I like big money. So if I had $1,000 for every time someone came to Jack or I in the last 40 years and said, Pastor D, I think I committed the unpardonable sin. I think I blaspheme. I think I'm going to hell. By the way, I nicknamed the unpardonable sin, the UPS, unpardonable sin. So I'm going to say the UPS, okay? If I had $1,000 for every time I got grabbed into an office and someone said that, I'd be a millionaire. Yep. Praise the Lord. And you know what? This is the answer. I learned it from my friend Pastor Mike, and I have been saying this for the last decade. This is the answer I give them. Get your pencil ready in case this is something that you've said or you know somebody that said this. It's real theological. Okay? I hope it doesn't go over your head. This is what I tell them. Ready? No, you didn't. And they get all indignant. But Pastor D, you don't know what I did. I think I blasphemed. I think I did the UPS, unpardonable sin. I go, no, you didn't. And they go, but you don't even know what I did. I go, I don't need to know. But Pastor D. Okay, they just want to fight you for this, all right? And you know what? This is what I tell them. This is how I know you didn't do the UPS. You didn't do the unpardonable sin. You didn't blaspheme me, God and the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is what I say to them. It's really simple. If you committed the UPS, if you blasphemed the Holy Spirit, okay, if you denied Jesus, ready? You would hate God, you would hate Jesus, you would hate church, and you'd hate me. If you did it, but you come to me, all right? And you love me, right? You love me. And besides, if you did it, you would be like, well, who cares? Because I hate God. I hate Jesus, right? So that's where they go, oh, I guess I didn't do it. No, you didn't do it. You didn't do that. I'm telling you. All right. Praise the Lord. Listen, there are so many Christians that are so worried about losing their salvation and, you know, falling from grace. And listen, yes, you are secure in your salvation. Yes, you are secure because of what Jesus did for you. Now, if it was what I did for you, you should be a mess. But because of what Jesus did, you are secure in your salvation. Now, look over at 2 Timothy, would y'all? 2 Timothy 2, here we go. Everybody say, no, you didn't. Thank you, my friend Pastor Mike, for explaining that to me. You know, I'd sit down and I'd take scripture after scripture. When these people would come, I did the UPS, I blah, and they would just be starry-eyed. And as soon as I said, no, you didn't, and explained, they're like, love it. All right. So y'all, it's 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 11. This is a trustworthy statement. Okay. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. you know, his special son in the faith. And he took over this church. And at that time, they are being like machine gun persecuted. If you were a Christian that time, they were just hauling you off. And at that time, Timothy had this huge church, and there's this great shaking going on because of the Roman government, and it is bad. So here's Paul going, "Dear Timothy, this is a trustworthy statement. Like, buddy, pay attention, okay? For if we died with him, we will also live with him." So in other words, when you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says you were crucified with him. So if you're crucified with him, you're going to be raised with him. Is that simple enough? All right? All right? And that's also called being baptized in Christ. Did you ever hear that before? All right. So if you accept Jesus into your life, you will be raised with him and you go to heaven. All right? Hey, side note. You do not work your way to heaven. Now, I'll give you a whole list of things you can do around the building. I have a forever honey-do list, but that's not going to get you to heaven, right? Okay, so you do not work your way to heaven. How do you go to heaven? You believe in Jesus. All right, just side note. Verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we endure, and listen, it was getting crazy bad where Paul was. And he's saying, hey, if you guys endure, you will also reign with him. So that means if you keep living your life with Jesus, you'll die and you'll go to heaven and you'll have all the blessings in heaven. So you'll reign with him. It's not too hard. All righty. The next part, verse 12. If we deny him, we're going to talk about that. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, truth, don't lie. How many of you have been faithless with the Lord? He asked you to do things. He who knows to do right and doesn't do it is. Okay, I've been faithless sometimes. I haven't done everything right. All right? How many of you have not ever done everything right? So you've been faithless sometimes, right? Okay? But, but I like that. Okay, let's go. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So that's a good part. Now, let's talk about deny. Deny. If you deny him. How many of you know that Peter denied Jesus? Right? He did. He denied him. But the next verse says, he will also deny us? Okay. Peter denied Jesus three times, but then he hit the floor. He was a mess, repented, just back in fellowship with the Lord. The Bible also says that Paul did. Before he knew Jesus, he was out persecuting the church, and he denied Jesus, and he said, I did it because I was dumb. I did it out of ignorance. Okay, now those are some case in points that we deny him, all right? But this is not talking about that. This, I know a lot of people, okay, get ahead of myself. All right, let me ask you a question. Or let me make a statement. To deny him means to totally reject him. Key word, reject totally. Reject God, Jesus, totally. So here's my question. How do you accept Jesus? Believe in your heart, say with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Savior and I accept you into my life, right? How do you accept him? How do you deny him? You believe in your heart. You say with your mouth, I reject you, Jesus. I don't even believe in you. You are not a part of my life. This is all a bunch of bunk. Forever, get out. I don't believe. Now, can I tell you, I know a lot of people that play deep in the mud. I know a lot of Christians that are playing deep in the mud. Get it? I don't know one of them that's totally rejected Jesus. Now, just me. That's just me. I don't know someone who has totally rejected Jesus, walked away. Anybody know any like that? And I bet if they did, they'd be cussing and screaming and stuff like that. Usually someone who is denying him in their life, a believer who's denying Jesus in their life, they usually just put him way back in the back shed, okay? But I just have to tell you, I don't know that many people that have totally rejected him. So what's God trying to say here? I am never going to deny you, be faithless to you. Now, you may choose to jump out of my hands, but I am going to be faithful to you. So who's always faithful to us? forever, 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 God's faithful to us. You have to choose, all right? And I'm telling you, I don't know anybody, if I can get them alone, you know, someone, they're usually mad at God. They usually just don't know who God is in their life. They don't even know their enemy, and then they just get all goofy in their life. If I can get them and talk to them, they've not rejected the Lord, right? Okay, turn over to John 10, John 10, 28. John 10, 28. We're soon wrapping up. Don't move. Okay, here we go. Ready? John 10. John 10, 28. This is Jesus talking, and he says, I give them eternal life, right? Life. A new creature. Brand new. My spirit's made brand new, right? I'm a new being here. Okay, I give them eternal life, and they shall never... Ooh, that sounds like the never forever, right? Never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. This is Jesus talking. And then he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater, greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. All right? You know, this picture this. Have you ever seen the movies where the guy's hanging over the bridge and the person's trying to rescue them and they give them their one hand and they slip out? Ah, all right? This is what this is saying. God's saying, I have a double grip on you. I will never let go of you. I will never not accept you. I will ever hold you. God and Jesus just holding you, okay? I will never. I will never, okay? Because we live for him. Because he loves us, and he's saying, I've got you. I will not abandon you. I will not, you know, throw you out. So when you know that, when I know that I am forever chosen, God picked me out first, not last, okay? I am forever perfect. I'm flawless. In his eyes, he sees me perfect. He actually sees you just like his son, Jesus, perfect. Okay? And when I know that I am forever holy, praise God, when I know that I'm forever secure, let me tell you, I want to live my life to please him. When you know that, So somebody says, well, Pastor D, you just give everybody a license to sin because, you know, they're forever this, they're forever that, so they can just go that. No, no, no. If you really know, I am forever picked. God picked me out, made me his own, made me perfect, made me holy, made me secure. When you know that, you will want to live to please him. Amen? Praise God. So that is the why between the what. Behind the what. So this series, we're going to talk about what pleases God. And listen, God wants you to know what pleases him. You just don't walk around like a dummy all through life. I don't know. I don't know what God's will is. I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to give you a scripture that says God wants you to know. Turn over, last scripture. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. You live as children of light. That sounds like what happened in us, right? For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10. And find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. You're to find out what pleases the Lord. So the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about what pleases God. All right? And we're going to have a blast. And every week we're going to look at the why behind the what we do. The why behind the what we do. So, we live for him because he lives for us. Homework time. Get your pencil out. I'm going to give you an assignment. Ready? Here's your assignment this week. When the accuser tries to machine gun you with thoughts, okay, into your mind, first you got to recognize it's the accuser. And then you have to say, I'm forever chosen. I'm forever perfect. I'm forever holy. I'm forever secure. This week, and I would love to say, you know, I'm not just cursing you and wishing all sorts of bad things on you, but you live in a world where you have an accuser, and he just hates your guts. Just hates your guts. And he doesn't come at you with a machine gun. He's going to come at you with thoughts. So when you have those thoughts, I want you to be saying what God says about you, all right? How about everybody, let's close your eyes, bow your heads, nobody's looking around. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for all these incredible people here this morning. And Lord, I ask that you make this real, more and more real in their lives, that they understand we love you because of your love for us. And Lord, if there's anybody here who's not received Jesus, not received you reaching out, Lord, and letting them be their kids, if there's anybody here, Lord, I pray that today, right now, they would say, yeah, I have not, and I want to receive the Lord into my life. So everybody, heads bowed, eyes closed. Guys, this is it. This is it. I'm not asking you to join this church, join a religion. I'm not asking you if you grew up in a Christian home. I'm not asking you if you were baptized as a baby or if you were baptized as an adult. Guys, those are all great things. They're great things. They're good things. But you know what? You can do all those things and not be a Christian, a follower, be one of God's kids. You can do all of that, okay? Because being a Christian, a follower, is something you do out of your heart, right? Something you do out of your heart. So if you're here, I want to ask you this question. Well, yeah, you're all here, right? Can you remember a time, a moment where you said, it was really real to you, where you said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And Jesus, I make a decision for you to accept you and to follow you. Can everybody here remember a time that you did that? Okay, if you can't remember a time that you ever did that, all righty, praise God. But you would say today, you know, Pastor D, I've been listening to this message, and you keep saying those that accepted Jesus. And Pastor D, I'm ready. I'm ready to accept Jesus into my life. If you're here, and I just want you to, can I pray with you? Just say this after me. And matter of fact, all of you are going to pray that with them, okay? Pray it so it's loud enough that you hear it, all right? So some people say, well, I prayed it in my brain. Nope, it says you believe in your heart and you speak it out with your mouth. So let's pray this. Everybody say this with them. I realize I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins. This day, I give my heart to Jesus. Okay, now right now we're going to switch gears. We're going to make it personal. And then, so if you're praying this for the first time, this is personal. This is what you say. Jesus, I believe you're the Savior. I believe you died and rose again. And this day, I make a decision to ask you into my heart, into my life. And now I'm your child. And Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody look at me for a second. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you please tell me? Just tell me, all right? Okay, I'd love to. I've got a little booklet for you. I'm just going to rejoice with you, all right? Now, all of heaven's rejoicing, but I want to get in on the party, all right? So come on up and you can say that. All right, praise God. What pleases God? The why behind the what? We live for God because he loves us, all right? We now have communion fellowship. Everybody's invited, whether you brought a crock pot or not. Okay, and what I will need is it youth are going to help load up? Okay, action, everybody. If you have anything.